Well, I really want to thank Pastor Young and all the pastors and your church for giving me this opportunity to share the Word of God. But before I share the Word of God, I want to give thanks to your pastors and to the to all of you for praying for me. As the last time I came here, I'm a cancer survivor. And I share with you how the Lord have led me through the 8 rounds of chemo without side effect. And thereafter, I went for operation, and I only left like 2.5 digestive organ, a stomach, half stomach, lost intestine, and the liver. But, you know, I still right now able to preach the Word of God because our God is our Creator. He's able to compensate. But last July, when I was admitted the sixth time, the doctor, I have an event in September. And so my wife told the doctor, say that he have an important event. But the doctor asked, when is that? He said, September. And the doctor told her that, I think it's tough, because the doctor don't think that I will last beyond September. But right now, I'm still able to stand here to preach the Word of God, because while I was in the hospital, God spoke to me that not only New Caris Mission, but God reminded me 5 years ago that God had prophesied that New Caris Mission would become a role model for the 21st century halfway house. And God wants us to, the New Caris Mission, to have the New Caris Mission International. So I just visited Taiwan and Vietnam, and I went to Philippines, and for the first time that we are able to baptize prisoners in the prison. And then, when I was there, 68 of them signed up to be baptized. But after the service, another 31 of them asked whether they can be baptized or not. And so we give them a short teaching about baptism, and on that day we baptized, this is before and after. So we baptized 99 prisoners. Give all the glory to God. And so while we came out of the prison, and one of the sisters was saying, why 99? Why not 100, food, And then the other brother was jokingly saying that 99 because God wants to remind all of us that there is always a lordship out there. We must continue to do the work. The work must not stop. Amen? Yeah, so once again, I really thank your pastor and all of you. Let's go straight into the Word of God and let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, God, that thank you, God, for your presence. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and touch our ears will be sensitive, Lord, to your voice. Prepare our hearts will be on good ground, God. Because your word, the seed that falls into good ground, it will start to bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold, Lord. And I pray, God, that today, Holy Spirit, come and chair this service. And as for your son, Lord, I pray, God, that you hide me behind the cross, so that whatever that is said and done, only the name of Jesus will be glorified, Lord. We pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say, amen, amen. You know, before I share the Word of God, I want to ask everyone a question. Does God need our money? Does God need our money? No, right? So if God don't need our money, why God ask us to give? Why God ask us to give? God is a creator. He's the owner of 10,000 cattle seals. He don't need your money and my money. But every time when we come to church on Sunday, we have to give our love offering, we have to give our tithing, and even the non-believers say, why are you so foolish? You go to church every time they talk about money. Why does God need us to give? God have a principle. God is a giver. God is not a taker. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son for you and me to die at the cross so that, not only our sin can be forgiven, the greatest gift is that God has given us eternal life, and also Jesus has promised that we may have life and life in abundance as we live on this earth. So God is not a taker. God wants us to give. It's because God is finding a man. Just like the Bible says that we cannot serve two masters. God is finding a man. The money is not his master. He's a good steward of money. that ye fear no man, please no man, but fear God and please God alone. If God find a man, God can't wait to open heaven and pour down his blessing upon that person, the blessing of Abraham that overflow, so that, you know, just like God said to Abraham, I will bless you so that you can become a blessing to many nations. God is finding a man and a woman as a vessel that God can pour down his blessing. That the man can walk on this earth with heaven backing him up in whatever he do. So God is not asking us to give. God is preparing us so that he can bless us. So that he can bless us. Today my title is Giving Your Precious. What is precious to you is precious to God. In 1 Kings chapter 17, I want to share from 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. You talk about Elijah and the widow. And we know at that time it was famine, and God sent Elijah, and God told Elijah that you'll meet a widow, and this is what I want you to do. And so, true enough, in verse 17, chapter 17, verse 10 to 12, so he, Elijah, arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was gathering sticks. He called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. Here Elijah is asking from a widow. But then the widow explained. The widow explained and said, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have bread, only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jar. I'm going to gather a few sticks to take home, make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. Maybe in the first place when Elijah demand or ask for a cup of drink, a piece of bread, he didn't know about the situation of this widow. But after the widow explained everything, I believe a man of God to be able to empathize, to be able to think that, wow, you know, I must do something for this widow or help this widow. But yet, Elijah never did that. But Elijah even demanded more. So this is what Elijah said. Elijah said that in verse 17, Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And thereafter, make some for yourself and your son. After hearing the widow telling Elijah about the last meal they're going to have to eat with the son and die. Yet, instead of empathize or have compassion or find ways to help the widow, Elijah even demand more. From a cup of water to a piece of cake to a piece of bread, and now to make a cake for him. My goodness. If I'm the widow, I will ask Elijah, do you want cheesecake or chocolate cake? You know, sometimes God asks us to do something or demand something from us. It seems to be ridiculous. It seems to be unreasonable. But yet the ways of God is higher. The thoughts of God is higher. God is not a taker. He's a giver. And if we are able to understand how much God loves us, able to understand that every time when God demands something from us, God will provide the resources because He's always that loving Father that watches over us. And if we have that relationship and we know who God is and we have that close relationship and our trust in God, then it's easy for us to give our precious to God when we hear the word of the Lord. Because after that, Elijah told the widow, and this is the Rhema word of God. In verse 14, he said, "For this is what the Lord said, the God of Israel said that the jar of the flour will not use up, the jar of the oil will not dry up until the day the Lord sends rain on that land." This is the Rhema word. He said, don't be afraid. You go and do whatever. Even this last meal, if you offer it to God, God will make sure that your well will not run dry. God will make sure your well will not run dry. And sometimes, you know, you think that if God really wants to feed Elijah, God should send Elijah to a rich man. Why torment a widow? God is not putting the widow or asking the widow to do something that make her struggle and in a difficult position. But God is preparing her, not just to provide her another meal. God wants to provide her a lifetime of provision. The jar and the jug will not run dry. And in order for God to do that, God is preparing her. Don't look to the left, to the right, or to look to what you have, but look to me, because I'm sovereign. I'm your loving Father that able to provide you everything. If you take a step and trust in me. And so here, in Luke chapter 6, 38, it says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your laps. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." To the world, the widow can't afford to give. But to God, she can't afford not to give. Because her generous giving by faith, that God can provide her and position her to receive a lifetime of provision, that the well will never run dry. I still remember that, you know, when my children were young, when we came out 18 years ago to start the new Caris mission. And so I don't have a fixed space at that time and, you know, depend on giving. And so they learn violin, my son and my daughter. And so we only have one violin that was given by somebody. And so they share while they go to practice. But they have a concert. To cut the story short, we need another violin because two of them will be on stage. And so we went to Sui Lee, and my wife looked at it, and my wife saw one that is $180, I think, $180 plus. I only left $200 over. And so, but I see one also brand new, is $80. And so I bought, I say, there are children now. The same, look new, you know, by $80. And I bought the $80. My son, right now, sitting in front. My son was so happy, you know, wow, brand new, you know. But after 2 days, he went for the practice and he came back and tell my wife, tell the mom, say, "Mom, you know, Mr. Toh keeps scolding the violin, stupid violin, because cannot tune properly. Because that $80 made in China. At that time, China's standard is not that high. Now China's standard, wow, is way up there, man, right? All of us do agree, right? And so, wow, then after that, 10 days later or 2 weeks later, my senior pastor's daughter came and, you know, invited me and my wife and my children pastor for a dinner, and the former children pastor for a dinner, and because she wanted to go to become a missionary, then you got to raise her fund. And so she talked to us, and I went to the toilet. Again, I left around, like, you know, $200 over. And so the first impression, the first thing that came to my mind is to take $100 and bless her. You know, I like to give seed money, but God said, give the 200. Wow, I was like, wow, 200. I only left, like, you know, maybe like $30 or $40. But I know it's end of the month already. So I took the $200 and I put it in my pocket, and I went out to a dinner with them. And in my heart, I said, praise the Lord, hallelujah. My hallelujah, I praise God. You know, I got no opportunity to give, you know, because we are talking. It's not that I got opportunity to give. I struggle to give, you know. I tell you, but I still give. And after that, I told my wife, I said, I just now give Kim the $200. My wife never said a word. My wife never stared at me and said, I asked you to buy the violin, $180, you don't buy, but give, you give $200. So sometimes, you know, God asks us to do things that it doesn't make sense, but God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. And so so I gave the $200, and that was on Tuesday. And Thursday morning, when I came out from my prayer room, because at that time we just came out 3 months to start the new Caris mission. My wife was also came out from the organization, and both of us, my wife was also out of job. And so I was praying, but when I came out, there was a message from an old church member. He said that, Pastor Don, I'm writing a $2,000 check to you. If by Saturday you don't receive, please give me a call. Wow, I wake up my wife, I say, you see, you give 200, God bless them for, man. You know. So Saturday, we waited from 12 o'clock lunchtime, or no news. 2 o'clock, no news. And then I say, should I call him? You know, typical Chinese, this one's still important, I face. So don't call. But by 4 o'clock, another SMS came in, another message came in, and then he wrote out there, he said, Pastor Don, I'm not going to write a $2,000 check to you. I already sent out a $5,000 check to you. Wow, praise God. Yeah, you know, like, my wife, so like you. Wow, praise the Lord, man. Oh, from that day, Thursday up to Saturday, I was at Cloud Nine, you know. The worship and all. So Monday, I was, you know, taking a break. Every Monday, I spent half a day in at the seaside or reservoir, and just to have a silent and solitude with God. And God gave me a message about Abraham and Isaac. And so I went back home, and that night again, you know, before I sleep, I pray to God, thanking God for the 5,000, and I and my wife were planning to pay some of the debts and also bring our children to Genting or to somewhere lagoon. Last time, our family holiday is just somewhere lagoon and Genting. I don't know how many times I've been there. So Monday, after that, I was praying and giving thanks to God. Wow. That prayer, the room was filled with the presence of God. Not filled with the presence of God, filled with my emotion, you know. My feeling on Cloud Nine. Wow. Some of you are so quiet, as if you don't experience that. When people give you money, like, you're all like, only pastor experienced that type of Cloud Nine when you see my. And so, but before I opened the door, right, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to write a 5,000, I want you to give the 5,000 to the ministry. I'm like, all of you, no more hallelujah now. Praise the Lord. I say, it cannot be, man. I say, it must be of the devil. And so I ignore that voice. I go and sleep. Tomorrow, wake up, I still pray. I still ignore that voice. And I go and do my daily routine, you know, devotion and, you know, counsel people. And I struggle so much up to afternoon. And the Holy Spirit still said the same thing. Give the 5,000 to the ministry. And so I call out my wife. I say, dear, don't pay any debt or you know, plan anything. My wife said, oh, the check have not cleared yet. I said, good, good, good. Then you write a $5,000 check to the ministry. My wife never say, wow, crazy or what, you know. But my wife, no, I'm not crazy. The husband not crazy, because I won't do things like that unless I hear from God. And so we give it to the Lord. And from that day, 5,000, you know, we just started 3 months this ministry. And within another 3 months, 2 to 3 months, someone just gave 30,000 to the ministry. And then another 2 months, Someone bought a new van for the ministry. And he continued, strength to strength, glory to glory. Praise the Lord. You will never outgive God. When God asks you to give you, to give the precious, God is preparing you to receive the blessing that is overflowing, that beyond what you can imagine. What you can imagine. And so, you know, in life sometimes we want the blessing of God. We say, God, you know, bless us, bless this, you know, do, let our business be good. There was a brother who struggled so much that one day altar call, he came to the front and tell pastor, he said, Pastor, I struggle. So the pastor thought, you know, the pastor asked, why are you struggling? He said, last time when I work, I only have $3,000 pay. I pay my tithing faithfully. And then I, you know, God, you know, blessed me. I become supervisor. My pay was increased to $5,000. And thereafter, I become assistant manager. And my pay is around like $8,000. I give, you know, tithing. And I also give love offering. And then after that, I came out and start my own business. And right now, my business, 1 month, I'm making like $200,000 to $300,000. I struggle so much, man, Pastor. Can you pray for me? Pastor said, sure, come, brother. Don't struggle. Let me pray for you, he said. Pastor lay hands. Pastor said, Heavenly Father, don't let my brother struggle. Bring him all the way back to $3,000 will do, lah. Then the guy said, no, 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 Pastor, don't pray this out, prayer. No, 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 don't pray this prayer. You know, many times we want the blessing of the Lord, you know. Instead of looking at the 10%, you, how about the 90% that God has blessed you? In fact, 100%, it all belongs to God. All good gifts come from God. And we sometimes, you know, we want the blessing, but when we come to giving to God, we, you know, sometimes be so calculative with the Lord. So, if we give our precious, our well will never run dry. Proverbs say that there is one who scattered and yet increase more. There is one who withholds more than it drives, it will lead to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich. He who waters will be water, will water himself. You know, the New Carriage Mission, we started without a roof above our head 18 years ago. And so we looked to God, we rented the NTUC chalet for 3 days using our credit cards to pay. And that's how the New Carriage Mission started. The first 8 years, we moved to 8 locations. But 2009, God gave me a vision. God gave me a vision. And this vision is a community hub. And you all have to understand that the government already, 10 over years ago, the government already stopped giving places to run a halfway house, especially Christian halfway house. Out of maybe right now 17 halfway house, 10 of the halfway house are Christians, Christian-based, faith-based halfway house. And so, but yet God gave me a big vision, not only a halfway house, but a community hub. So I have my whiteboard. This whiteboard is still in my office. I draw a square and without picture. I begin to pray. Pray for 1 year, nothing happened. And so I put up picture so that, you know, I can visualize and pray. And so I begin to pray. 2 years, nothing happened. But to cut the story short, you know, after 4 months, the former minister, Tan Chuan Jin, look at this place, and it is the old ITE, Geylang ITE. It had been vacant for 10 over years. He said, what a waste. And he heard about my proposal, my vision, the proposal and the vision. So I went to share with him. He championed for the place. And after that, 4 years later, we have this place. And we look at the place, we begin to pray and say, God, every time when people come to this place, it will be a wild place. People will be able to see your glory. When we get this place, it's really a wild place. That wild is not, wow. That wild is where to get money to renovate, you know. Because we only have 38,000 in the bank, but the lease, you know, 3 quotations, the lease is 1.2 million. And when we got this place, by law to that, our pay sometimes delayed by 2 weeks. Sometimes, you know, we don't even have pay to pay the rental. But when we come to this place, we declare together with my staff, we declare that, God, this is a promised land. A promised land that you say it will fill with milk and honey. No more financial problem. I say that, God, that you will provide us from this day onward. True enough, God provide us. And before God provide us, you know, sometimes we pray, right? But we also teach God, you know, how to answer our prayer. Right? We say, God, help. So I say, God, please, God, we need money, you know. Maybe you get Lee Foundation. You get the brother, you know, that rich guy. We tell God how to do things, right? As if that God don't know, right then, you know. We teach God how to do. But yet one day I wake up, God say, Don, I want you to teach them about the character of love, the character of faith, and the character of giving. And so when we talk about character of giving, and then we begin to talk to the brothers and about faith pledge. And so I teach them about the principle of giving. And so I give each one of them a paper. At that time, we had 40 over people. 20 over of them is going through the program. They got no pay. And only like maybe a handful of them, like 12 of them, 10 to 12 of them, they are paid. And their pay is not more than 1,005. And so I thought, seed money, give them the paper, seed money, maybe we can collect a few $1,000 and give it, you know, as a seed money. And so we collect back the paper. You know how much we counted? 52,000. You wow, right? I also wow. My wall is different wall. No? I say, don't know they understand what is faith pledge, you know. My goodness, you write, must pay one, you know, don't just write only. So the next morning, I went back and talked to them. I said, guys, do you understand what is faith pledge? You must pray and, you know, you must, you know, pay for it, you know. And they say they understand. They understand. And so they came down with this. Some of them came down with plastic. $1 coin they are saving. They say, Pastor, this is $300. And they have experienced that 3 months, how God provide them to pay their faith pledge. And one of the examples, I just give you one example. One of the house owner asked us to, we do house moving. And so the whole cost of the moving is like 700. And keep bugging my supervisor for 10 to 15% discount. But then after they finish the job, he give each one of them $100. Does it make sense? It doesn't make sense. Right? But it made all sense to our brothers. Because they know they need the money to pay their faith pledge. And they experience God providing. If your heart is right, you give your precious, God will provide the rest. And so when we collected 53,000. And so 5,000 we give, God provide, ban everything. And then God provide another 53,000 as a seed money. And then we renovate the whole place. We're able to raise 570,000. But at that time, SG50, government gave 1-for-1. And so we are able to have 1-point-something million to renovate the whole place. And now the whole place looks like that. Praise the Lord. Give all glory to God. Your pastor, they have been to our place. And yeah, so God is, you know, as I just now share with you all, that God loves a cheerful giver. God don't need your money. God is preparing you so that he can bless you. Because God is a giver, not a taker. Second thing, if we give our precious, it will flow to the next generation. The word philosophy is that you get all you can, keep all you can, and guard all you can. But God's philosophy, you get all you can, keep all you can, give all you can. And quickly, I'm going to share with you about it flow to the next. It not only bless you, but it flow to the next generation. Abraham, you know, God called him out at the age of 75. And God said, I will make you the father of many nations. Walking 5 years, you know, after 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, nothing happened. And sometimes we are, you know, when we see that things don't happen, we think that God forget about his calling upon your life. God never forget. God is still working. But we, with our intelligence and, you know, we with our know-how, and we know what happened, we try to use our way to fulfill God's vision. Abraham and the wife say, you know, why don't you sleep with the maid, and then so that you can continue to have that vision, to become father of many nations. And true enough, at the age of 86, he slept with the maid and they have Ishmael. For parents, sometimes the decision that we make, we must be very careful, because sometimes whatever the way that we live, the decision that we make, it will flow down to the third and the fourth generation. The problem that Ishmael had brought to the family is still happening today. It's still a problem today. By the age of 99, and God began to show Abraham, sent two angels and showed him the sky and said that your descendants will be as numerous as the star in the sky. And he said that on this day, next year this day, you will have a child. And true enough, Isaac was born. And then, you know, the Bible never say how they raised up Isaac. But Isaac, then it come to chapter 22, it talk about Abraham. God called Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And down here we can see that again, God demand something that is ridiculous, something beyond what we can imagine. Because if you ask for gold or silver, Abraham have a lot. But why? After 25 years, after all the mistakes that I made, you have forgiven me, and you have given me the son to fulfill the vision, the calling that you have called me, and right now you ask me to sacrifice Isaac. Sacrificing Isaac is not just sacrificing a child. Sacrificing everything. His dream, his vision, the calling of God. Everything. But yet, Abraham obeyed. That's why Christian is not about rationalizing, looking to the left or to the right. It's about listening to the word of God. If God says so, all we need to do is to take a step of faith, believing. It doesn't make sense, but God knows what he's doing. And God is always not only preparing the good, but the best for you and me. If you have that relationship and knowing that your father is a loving father that can't wait to bless you. And so while Abraham was bringing Isaac up to the mountain, I don't think it's a good feeling. The journey of faith is never a good feeling. But the journey of faith is a great experience. Because while Abraham was walking up, he couldn't see the other side of the mountain, but God already provided. God already provided a ram while he was climbing up. But at the right time, on top of the hill, God provided a ram for the sacrifice. And that hill, that mountain is called Jehovah Jireh, that God our provider, that God our provider. And quickly, the first promise, we know that, you know, your descendants will be as numerous as the star. But because Abraham had not withheld Isaac, the angels of the Lord called from heaven the second time and say, I swear by myself, declare the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as sand on the seashore. But here's the second thing, the promise that God said. Your descendants will take possession of the city of their enemy, and through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Because you have obeyed me. This is my daughter. My daughter is a worship leader. And my son also, sometimes I go to church to preach. He will take one guitar, he will lead worship. He ever lead the last time, right? The last song, ministry song. And but one day I was in Better Assembly of God preaching, and the pastor came to me and said, hey, Pastor Don, you're so blessed. You know, I said, yeah, God has been blessing me and the ministry. He said, no, look at the stage. When I look at the stage, my wife was playing guitar, my daughter was leading worship, and my son was in the keyboard. And I was about to preach. And the pastor turned to me. He said, that's the real blessing. the blessing that flow to the third and the fourth generation. Praise the Lord. Give all the glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. And quickly, that you know, when you give your precious, whatever you do, it will be made known. Because God said in Matthew that the woman that gave the perfume, and God said that wherever the gospel is preached, it will be made known to you. It will be made known. And what is precious to you is precious to the Lord. And quickly, I just want to show you some picture. All this, their life are changed right now. And sometimes change beyond what you can imagine. Look at them. And especially the corner, second one, it looked like a zombie, right? Right? Yeah, when we are drug addict, we are alive outside, dead inside. But right now, even though he and the wife are not well educated, but the son is, you know, chosen for the gifted program, for AI program. And the daughter is in NUS. And all of them are married right now. And, last time higher standard is Sec 3. And right now, most of them have degree. And last time we go into prison, but right now we are prison pass holder. We go in and bring the message of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And all these, recognition. And recently in Parliament, we are made known in Parliament. And likewise, Cornerstone. Last time I stayed in Toro Kurau. This is known as Odeon Katong, right? Katong Odeon, Odeon Katong. But right now it's known as Cornerstone. Because your pastor has changed the nightclub into a church, you know. And right now you have bought a unit and all. And I believe that, you know, I'm excited as I hear the news about your buying a unit, buying a place in Orchard Tower. And people already ask your pastor, will it be like here? You know, next time people will not call that place Orchard Tower. It will call Cornerstone Tower. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's believe that. Because God meant us to be the light and the salt of this world. And I pray that your church can make a big difference, a lighthouse in that place. Let's stand on our feet as we prepare to worship the Lord. And so as you can see, 5,053, and right now, 700 to renovate the whole place. But since then up to now, every 26th of the month, our staff have their pay. God has provided millions every year. And right now we also have buffer. Praise the Lord. Because God is preparing not only one-time provision, a lifetime provision, so that we can continue to be a blessing to the people around us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come. know, the presence of God is here. We are all eyes closed. You know, sometimes we have anxiety. We are worried because we hold tight to the precious things of our life that cause us to have anxiety and to worry. Today, as you hear the message, will you give that to God? So that knowing, just like the boy with the two fish and five loaves of bread, give it to God. God can use to change the situation and use it as a blessing. And many of us, I say that we are giver. All of us, we are giver. But yet there are times when God demands of us the precious. We should be thankful. Because I believe if God asks you to give something that is beyond what you are able to, or that you struggle to give, or you think it's not reasonable, God is preparing you to experience something that is greater beyond what you can imagine. All you need to do is to give it to God, is to surrender it. And especially right now, as God, you know, giving Cornerstone the privilege and the opportunity to expand the kingdom of God, the house of God, then we should be asking God, God, I want to be part of it, God. And sometimes the demand beyond what we can do. But Christian life is all about faith. Faith in hearing the word of God. So when you hear the word of God, let faith arise. Let fear go in Jesus' name. That we know our Heavenly Father is Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. And so if this today is your prayer, and say that God, help me, Father. Help me, Lord, that I'm not only a giver, I want to give my very best. Just like King David said, I will not give anything that costs me nothing to God. And so today, if this is your prayer and you want to experience that your well and your jar will never run dry, because God wants to provide you a lifetime of provision, not depending on what you have, or not seeing the left or right, or not hearing others say, but looking to Him and Him alone, because He is Jehovah, our the great I Am. He is your Heavenly Father that wants you to experience how much He loves you. And if this is your prayer, by the count of three, I want you to raise up your hand. Ready? One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus. I see many hands. Just raise it high right now. I'll pray for you, and then I'll hand the time to Pastor Kevin. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, God, you see all these hands, Lord. Father, first and foremost, we thank you, God, for your love and your mercy upon each one of our life. Father, as we raise up our hands, help us, Lord. Increase our faith, God. Touch our ears to be sensitive to your voice, God. Let us hear you and give us the strength to obey your words, Lord. That, God, we will walk by faith and not by sight. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, that today, God, as you ask us to do, we will, Lord, do it, Lord, by faith, God. Knowing, God, you know, Lord, and you have the great plan and the best thing in store for each one of us. We thank you, God, for all these hands that is raised. I bless them, God, that they, Lord, today, Lord, as they position themselves, they're going to experience great and mighty things. Because your word say, be consecrated, for tomorrow I'm going to do amazing things, God. Today, God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, lifting our hands as a sign of surrender, as a sign, Lord, coming to you and say, God, our Heavenly Father, hold my hand. Help me to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. I pray, God, that the lighthouse, Lord, the orchard unit will become a lighthouse in the areas of the tourist areas, in the areas of darkness. Let your light shine, God, in Jesus' name, God. And I pray you did it for Katongo, then you will do it for Orchard Tower. They will continue to extend the territory, Lord. Conquer, Lord, and buy more unit there, Lord, so that the tower will be called Cornerstone Tower, God. Father, we thank you, God. When people mention Orchard Tower, they will talk about Cornerstone Church, God. So God, we thank you, we bless you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody say amen. One more time, let's give all the glory to the Lord. Hallelujah.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.